We're good. We're good to go. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Would you stand, please? Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you gather us together. I thank you, Lord, that your eyes are on us. You're growing us up. You're growing us closer to yourself, Lord God. Father, we want to be aware of everything that you're doing and everything that you're stirring inside of us. We want to have that knowledge, oh God, to walk with you moment by moment. We love you so much. We honor you. We honor you. Thank you that where two or three are gathered, you are here in the midst of us. How beautiful that is, oh God.
Thank you.
Father, I just pray that this word and our hearts honor you today. You are everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Okay. Brother Abner spoke a word over me last time he was here, and he said, I see you writing and writing and writing. He said, and that will be for the next generation. And that was something because just a week or two before he came, I said, I'm not going to type up my messages anymore. I'm going to write them in a notebook. And I'm just going to, like, pour out my heart on the pages with the pen. And it was a week or two before he said that. I said, and then before the Lord takes me home, I'm going to give each one of my kids a notebook. And he said that. Isn't that awesome? Oh, Lord God. You know, I'm usually when I speak, I'm always, with the help of the Lord, trying to get us all to come up higher, get us all to come closer to the Lord. It's a hunger and a thirst, amen, inside of us that we'd never, ever want to lose. And there is so much more for us. We can go so much higher. We can go so much deeper in God because we've only really received, like maybe, I'll put it this way, a little pinch of salt. There is so much. And God honors those that are thirsty, who are thirsty and hungry. And you know, sometimes when we're worshiping, I'll look behind and I see the thirsty and I see the hunger. I see the hungry here. That's such a good thing. May we never, ever, ever lose that because there's always so much more. As we grow older in the Lord, years are going by, there's still so much more. There's an ocean of knowledge. The love of God is being poured out. And more maybe now than ever, for these generations, this generation that we live in, because God chose us for this time, and it's such a pivotal, it's such a serious, but such a glorious time. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
We are chosen for this time. Hallelujah. So would you open up to Matthew chapter 8? Okay, thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 8. And, okay. So I just wanted to, before I do that, next week we would like it to be a testimony Sunday. And I think we'll do something like testimonies and worship. Testimonies and worship, you know? And, we all have testimony. We all have a testimony. Whether it something happened last week, a month ago, a year ago, but don't you also know that just your salvation alone is a testimony? Because all of a sudden, unless you were born in Christ, all of a sudden your ears were open the ears of your heart, all of a sudden, you were granted understanding and you realized there was a calling. Even that is a testimony. So the power of our testimony, Revelation 12, verse 11 says, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. So maybe we'll do a little bit of preaching or teaching in between. I don't know. But God gives us, you know, the glory. And we have to begin to understand that we're walking in glory. We are glory people. We'll talk about that more. But when we give our testimony, we are pouring faith into the hearers. Amen? People that hear the testimonies, faith is it being enlarged inside of us. And we triumph in the blood. There is victory in the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Okay? So we have conquered the enemy, Revelation 12, 11, by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. So I look forward to that next week. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, a soldier, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, when he heard it, he marveled. I like that. And that causes me to think. When Jesus heard the words of this man, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. When he heard this man, what came out of his heart, all you have to do, you don't even have to go with me, just speak that word and my servant would be healed. Jesus marveled. Another scripture, also Matthew 8, verse 10. No, I'm sorry. Matthew 15. Okay, verse 10. Starting at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She wasn't Jewish. Then she came up. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Woo! And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus was testing her, I believe. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Now, in the original script, in verse 28, it also says, And Jesus marveled. I looked that up. And Jesus marveled. Isn't that amazing? This word marveled was only used twice by Jesus throughout the whole New Testament. He marveled. Marveled, this word marveled here means astonished. So here is a human being, a male, a female, and when they opened up their mouth, what came out of their heart astonished Jesus. That is like so big to me, that Jesus, the Son of God, could be astonished by us. Over a man, over a woman, the Son of God astonished over a human. Something to think about. Twice he stood amazed because of their faith. That word, astonished, means amazed. Those words were used in other portions of Scripture. The same way Peter marveled at the empty tomb. That's that same word is used. When he marveled, he got to the place where the tomb was, and he marveled, it was empty. That's how Jesus marveled over this man and this woman. But when Peter marveled over that, he was marveling over what God did. He marveled over God. Multitudes marveled when the demon was cast out in Matthew chapter 9, verse 33. The multitude marveled at what was done by God. That was Jesus that did that. And they marveled at Jesus. But Jesus himself marveled over a man and a woman. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, the disciples marveled when Jesus rebuked the winds and the wind stopped. The disciples marveled when Jesus rebuked the fig tree and it withered away in Matthew 21. They marveled. Right before their eyes, this fig tree just withered and died. They marveled at what Jesus did. But that was Jesus doing that. The water walker, the miracle worker, the Son of God, the anointed one. These are the things that people marveled over because of the power that he had, the anointing that he had, who he was, the things that he did. He rose the dead. He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. He multiplied the bread and the fish. But Jesus, here in these two accounts, marveled at two human beings. That blows me away. Wow. Wow. Because of their great faith. In Matthew 17, let's just turn there, page or two over, verse 20. We're looking at a problem here. We're looking at people that had little faith. He marveled over the people's great faith. But here's an example. And when they had come, verse 14, Matthew 17. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Because they had tried and they failed. And so Jesus said, "Faithless and perverse generation." Wow. And so Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So let's take a look at that. How here the followers of Christ failed in the amount of faith that they had. Little faith. And Jesus is saying, and I believe every word that comes out of Jesus' mouth is nothing but truth. And it is truth that will set our infinite little minds free. And so you have to look into the dimension of what he's saying with clarity, understanding, look up things, search, hunt. Because there's, like I said, there's so much more. There's so much more. Because you have little faith, because of your unbelief, they said, "I brought him to your disciples," the father said, "but they could not cure him." Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How can we cause our faith to grow? I'll take a hand. Yes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's right there. There's an increase. You know what? What I want to do, and I'm also going to share it with you, I want to study everything that Jesus said. I have a red letter Bible. Maybe you do too. All the red letters. I want to take my time. And I want to read them, and I want to study them, and I want to pray over them, and I want to ask God to give me all the treasures that I'm going to find. Do that. Read all of the red letters, everything that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Read it and take it in because it is for you. Because it has to become a part of us. That character, that way about him. That love, that sternness, and all the hidden truth. And every time he opened his mouth, he left that behind. And we have this today. And then there's great faith. It's when the word is alive inside of you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence. Faith materializes in the atmosphere and goes forth and brings miracles. There's so much more that we haven't conquered yet in our souls, in our hearts, our minds. There's so much more. But it's the evidence. It's the substance. It is substance that materializes and goes forth into the atmosphere. And I think that we take it very lightly. I think that we have to really reach a place of really seeing into this, standing on it, praying, reading the word, as I said, receiving and believing. We can have little faith or we can have great faith. It's our choice. It is a choice. I believe it is a choice. And it's there for us, for each one of us, the great faith. It's there. But unless we kind of like almost be like a little spoiled brat, "Everything you have for me, God, I want it." everything. I don't want to be a miss of anything. I don't want to miss out on anything. I want every portion, every word, every drop. I want to walk in that. Is it possible? Can anybody tell me this is impossible? All things are possible in Christ Jesus. To make a difference. And it's not for me. And it's not for you. It's for others. Others. It's for the world. It's for your neighbors. Amen? It is for the lost. And so I believe that we need to develop such a hunger and such a thirst with such an earnest desire to touch them out there. We love our Christian circles. We love our Bible studies, which is a very, very great Bible study Debbie is doing now with an awesome, awesome book. The author, awesome, 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 awesome. I got to meet him. He talked to me. I spoke one day. And it was a big women's conference, and there were all classrooms and all different teachers, and I was one of them. And he was my student. Can you imagine that, Debbie? All things are possible in Christ Jesus. And he came over to me, and this was his voice. Oh, Diane. Yes. That really spoke to my heart. He went like that. That's how he spoke. I was like, huh? I'm a little ant. The word, it's the word. Amen. I threw that in there. I'm making myself laugh. A little. Yes, okay. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word. Oh, God, I don't want God to say you of little faith. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. So, you know, I was just saying again, read everything in the red to build up your faith. And again, it is when the word is alive in you. That is what develops great faith. You know, it's not just I'm reading, okay, I want to read, you know, up to here by next week. No. Feast on it. You know, like the best meal. Look into it. Pray over it as you go. Talk to God about it so that it really takes residence inside of you. Isaiah 55:11. So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. The word is so powerful. It's so powerful. And God wants to use us as the speakers, amen, of the word. You know, we can say to someone, like, say your neighbor is saying she's going through something or whatever, you can come out with a scripture and just say, that's truth. That's something we can hold on to. Because we don't have the answers. But start, you know, giving those drops, those gifts of scriptures to people that are outside of the faith. And so I think it's so important that we read, pray over the word, read about Jesus. Me, what I want to do is I want to really take apart everything Jesus said and David. Jesus and David, the old and the new. That's what I want. I want there to be an impartation. Why do you think we have this? There's an impartation, and it's holy, and it's fiery, and it keeps us alive, the word alive within us. Within us. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, you know what? To me, this is the heart of the matter. We want to bring God the Father glory. That's what Jesus did. That's what my brother did. Jesus. When he came down here, everything had to bring his Father glory. Everything. That's why he said, "This is my Son. In him I am so pleased." Right? When Jesus was water baptized. "This is my dear Son, in whom I am well pleased." Because everything his Father was always on his heart, always on his mind, and to bring him glory. That is, I think, the heart of the matter in our lives and in everything that we do. Like Jesus did. And I think that it is, or it should be, the secret of a Christian's heart. Because if we want to bring God glory in everything that we do, we're going to bless that neighbor. We're going to have a word for somebody. We're going to maybe cook a meal for somebody, whatever, but to bring God glory. If that is so embedded within our hearts, then I think God would say over us, "This is my own dear son or daughter in whom I am well pleased." That doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes, but if that's our heart, even the angels, I think, will be aware of it. So the Word is alive in him. And you're living for him. So you are the living Word. I went to a revival years ago, 20 years ago. Pastor Odom and Michelle, we went down with Pastor, and we drove down to, I think it was Pensacola. Brownville. Yeah, that was right. Okay. So there was a revival in this church, and I believe it was real. John Carver was one of the pastors in this church. I think they had maybe about 7 or 8 pastors. And he was one of them. He's my husband's brother. He's a wonderful man of God, missionary. So we drove down, and the revival to me looked real. It did. Because I saw fruit. And the place was packed, and people, there was a long, 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 long line outside. We got in, and I saw souls. I saw when Steve Hill, I liked that man. Oh, I liked that man. He was a man of tears. I really, really liked him. He was always crying. I remember he was on the Jewish man that has a program, Sid Roth. And he wept. And he wept. Sid Roth was trying to interview him and ask him questions. And he kept crying because of souls, because of young people, because I liked him a lot. Anyway, so he spoke. He gave a message. And then there was an altar call. And I forget the one that was leading the worship. He would sing that song, "Come Running, Come Running," you know. And it was very exciting, and people were getting up, and they were already crying before they reached the altars, and they were throwing themselves down, and it really looked real to me. It looked good. So after this one service was over, Steve Hill came in the back. In the back was a large area, and no chairs. The place was packed, but they had this area. And so he went back there, and people all went back there, you know, where Steve Hill was, get hands laid on them or whatever. And he was walking around, and he was giving words out and stuff like that, and they were all following him. Everywhere he would go, they were all, and it was a lot of people, and they were all following him everywhere he would go. And he was praying and all of that. And I didn't follow him. I just stayed in this one area. And after a little while, after that was over, he came over to me. And this is what he said and did. I think it's funny, but I love that man. He said, "God, she knows the anointing. Now, give her the glory. And he walked over to me and he went, and I wanted to look at him and say, that's not how you get the glory. But I wouldn't say anything. And he walked away. And I went like, okay. That's okay. He meant well. But that's not how you get the glory. Steve Hill died. The Lord took him home. I felt so bad about it because he was authentic. Believe me, I don't mean to say anything negative about him. But for me, that was my impression. Like, that's not how you get the glory. I'm going to tell you, there are two types of people that the glory is for. I mean, the glory is for all of us, but there are two types of people, in my opinion, that will get the glory. It's the hungry and the thirsty. That's all it takes. A deep hunger and a deep thirst. You have to hunger and thirst for it. And what you're really hungering and thirsting for is God. Matthew 5 says, verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a hunger and there's a thirst. It's a spiritual hunger and it's a spiritual thirst. And in a heartfelt passion for more righteousness, what God considers righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's not just a little bit hungry. Oh, I'll have just have a half a sandwich. No, no, no. This is a deep hunger. This is a crying out from within. Like I won't lay this down. I won't give up on this. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. That means his holiness. Righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you can only find it in one place. Righteousness, holiness, you can only be found in one place. First you hunger and you thirst and you go after. It's that one place is the Holy of Holies. Is this too deep? It's a place. Huh? It's life. It is a place where you could get so near to God and some of God rubs off on you. And you go there alone. First you hunger for thirst. You have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And it's not for you, it's for others. That's the mindset. That's the spirit. As Jesus came down, not for him. He hung on the cross, not for himself, but for the world. And so when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we want the heart, right, of the Son of God to please the Father. And only one thing is really going to please the Father more than anything else I can think of, our souls, our people that will come into the kingdom. And you can only get to this one place Holy of Holies, close to God, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And to me, that means you've got to love the Son of God. You've got to love Jesus. You've got to study, like me, for me. That all the words in red is like the blood of Jesus to me. You've got to hunt. You've got to dig. Maybe get down on your knees. It's like you're looking for a treasure in the ground. You get down and, you know, you start digging. You want it. Your hunger is so vast. It's so deep. It's so great. You thirst. And you're going after God. And God hears the beat of your heart. It's reaching the throne room. And you go into that place. We rush here. There's something going on at this church and at that church. And that's great. But you know what? Your alone time with God is immeasurable. It's it. It's it. Any man, the most greatest man you can think of laying hands on you is nice, but it's not this. I don't want to settle for less, but I want the greatest in God. Don't you want to be in such right standing with God? Like you know that you know that you know that his approval is on you. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Lord, I want to see your face. No one can answer that or describe that. Could make it a question, but we can't describe it. But to me, to see God's face is to see a love that I have truly not experienced to the measure God wants me to see it and know it and have it, receive it. I'm almost done. But I would like to have an altar call. I would like to come up at some point here in just a little while. Like I said, only a particular people can go in to the Holy of Holies. To me, it's the hungry and the thirsty for more of him, for his heart, to please him, a hunger to do his will, a hunger to bless your God and bless Jesus, a hunger to have more of presence of God in your life, hungry and thirsty for that. Only two types of people, the hungry and the thirsty. The thirsty spiritually, the hungry spiritually, hungry and thirsty for more presence. More presence. It's so important for us to know what is important to God. To really be able to look at his heart and to know what is so important to him. And for it to become so important to us. The poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit. We have so much, right? We have homes and cars and everything we need. We have friends. We have a church. But really, really, if we're not going after God, and I think of Jabez, is Jabez, right? In the Word of God. And his prayer, you know, like it was so sincere. And he said, the last line in his prayer said, I don't want to bring on pain. And that just meant so much to me. I don't want to hurt you, God. I don't want to fall short. Now, I don't want to sound religious. I don't want to sound religious. You know, if I do this, this, and this, I get a mark here, or whatever religion looks like to you. I don't want to sound like that. I want to sound hungry, and I want to sound thirsty. And I want to be hungry, and I want to be thirsty, because I know that I know that I know there's so much more. I'm just waiting in a little pool, sticking my feet in, when there's a great big giant ocean. I want to swim. The glory of God changes us. It makes us love those who hate us. It makes us do good to those who do bad to us. It makes us give without expecting to get anything back. The glory of God, it makes us love our enemies. The glory of God pulls the rug out from under our feet and turns our whole world upside down to what is really true and what is really important. That's the glory. The word says that, and you will be sons of the Most High God. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. These are the thirsty and the hungry. I would like to have an altar call, because I would like to ask God to call us up higher, to call us closer. I would like to ask God to give us an unquenchable thirst, unsolvable hunger. I would like to stand here and say, God, I know my flesh. I know how I waste time. I know when I walk away for an anointed appointment and look back and say, I should have said this to her. You know what I'm saying? I just want more. And there's so much more. So let's come up to the altar and let us come face to face with God for such a time as this. This is a serious time. Yes, we're all saved. Yes. Thank God. We're believers. We trust in God with all our hearts, right? But God is saying, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your cry. To be thirsty and to be hungry. Because God the Father does want to fill his children. Amen. Come up. Come to the altar. Spend time with the Lord here. He will mark this. In heaven, he'll mark this moment. In heaven, if you're serious, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, no one should lay hands on you. You get together with God at the altar.
passed me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. It's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Past the outer courts to the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. It's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Thank you. Thank you for the call passed, Lord. Lord, I pray for a holy thirst in your name. The prayer, Lord, that you'll receive. I believe you'll receive my cry for hunger and thirst. That take me past the outer courts, through the holy place, past your brazen altar, see your face, past the crowds of people, priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst. thirst for your righteousness. It's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Cleanse my lips. Cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Close in prayer.
Past the outer courts, through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I need to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the brother or the sister that authored this song, Lord, because I know they heard your heart. All those things that are being asked that you take us beyond are the things that we're very used to. The good things, Lord, the outer court, the fellowship, even the holy place. Such a beautiful and good place, Lord God. But the call, the hunger to go beyond that. That's the call which we're hearing about here this morning, Lord God. That only a hunger, a desperation, an absolute need opens that door. Make me desperate, Lord. Make me desperate, Lord. Bring me beyond where I settle for. Past the outer courts, past the holy place, past the brazen altar, where I can see your face. Beyond the people, Lord, and even the priests who sing your praise. None of it, Lord, can replace the place, the still secret place that's mine and yours. alone. Take me past, bring me further. Lord, I need a hunger and a thirst beyond what I have, Lord, beyond what I know. Bring me further. Help me keep you first. You want more of me. Create a thirst for more of you. So take me past the outer courts, through the holy place and past your brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. And pass me by the crowds of people, priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst. Let me hunger and thirst, 'cause it's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Very sober thing to even say what I feel like I have to say right here. I just sense that the Lord is showing me afresh and anew the most precious thing that he ever gave me was the blood of his son. And as that's applied to my salvation, it's only the beginning. What he'd have the blood applied for. And this portion of song that we sing, take me in by the blood of the Lamb. After our salvation, the call of the blood of Christ, provision of the blood of Christ, the need of the blood of Christ, the very purpose of the blood of Christ is to bring us beyond the outer courts. By your blood alone, by your blood. Oh, by your blood alone. Father, my own prayer, make me more sober than ever before. More sober than ever before. Knowing that I'll never be able to reckon the value of your blood. The greatness is beyond my mortal mind. But I ask you, Lord, on this side, even through a glass dark lamp, that you'd bring a sobriety within my life to understand the reason you gave your blood, Lord, and the reason why it's available to me right now to
bring me beyond.
Father, we want to please you. There's nothing worth more. Father, Jesus marveled over two people, and that was recorded in heaven and in your holy book. We don't want to be ordinary, God, not in the kingdom. Father, we ask, God, that you would set us ablaze, that the fire in us will grow. And Father, that we truly, Lord God, would put your heart before ours. Live for you. Live. Come into the fullness of Jesus Christ and live for you, God. Have the mind of Christ and live for you, God. Walk with you, God. That's what you wanted from Adam. Walk with me. But that's so deep, God, to truly walk with you step by step. Father, we want you to use us. That, Father, the need that so many have for salvation would become so heavy on us, Lord, that you would anoint us, anoint our lips, God, for those around us. Lord God, you look at the heart. You know a man because you look into the deep recesses of our hearts. We want to look into your heart. Father, would you increase your favor upon us as we move closer and closer to you. And that we would be able, O God, to see your heart more and more. No man has seen your face and lived. But we want to see your heart, God. We want to see the face of Jesus, God. He was your heart. Everything he did was to please you. Everything. Everything, God. To his last breath. And then after that, when he was raised from the dead, he wanted to get all his buddies ready for the work that you planned for them. And we ask God for a readiness because there is a work planned out before each one of us. We don't want to miss the mark, Lord, but do all that we can for you, for your kingdom, while we are still here. Father, I ask, Lord God, for myself and my brothers and sisters, that we would have an earnest hunger and thirst to be in your word. We would be drawn to your word. And we will see not just on the surface but levels and levels of depth of who you are, of what you're calling us to. Such revelation, God. Such revelation, Lord God. Let that, the revelation of Jesus Christ, He is who you are, that we would have that, and that would be our fuel for our fire of hunger and of thirst. We want more, but we want also to please you more. Keep us awake, alive, aware, alert, God, for your kingdom. For your kingdom. Show us how to pray. Oh, Spirit of God, lead us. Lead us. Let us pray prayers we have never prayed before. Let us see things and understand things, the need, the details of what to pray, who to pray for, how to pray. That is your calling. That is part of your massive calling upon our lives. Father, we waste so much time. Please forgive me, Lord. But Father, when our hearts are burning for you, being with you pleases us the most. Would you change our priorities, God? Would you open up our eyes to see, God, who we really are, who we are meant to be, who we are called to be, Lord? Oh, it's not works. It's just getting in agreement with you, and you take care of it all. Father, we pray for such a thirst, for such a hunger, and also, Father, for such a joy, Jesus, joy. Joy, Lord God. Joy, God. Such joy inside of us, especially when we come closer and closer to you. That joy being seen by others, even felt by others when they're with us. They're in our presence. Oh, Father, stir us up so greatly that we, God, would carry such a great, great presence. For the anointing, God, that breaks yokes. It's not for us. It's for others. Jesus came not for himself, but for others. And to please his heavenly Father, we want to be like Jesus. We want to shake off anything that's old, anything that's rusty, dusty, that is not any of value in your kingdom, but to be so kingdom-minded. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this call and this awakening, God. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for hearing our prayers, oh God. Thank you for what you are going to do. Thank you, Lord.
More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord.
Amen. So be it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. To the holy of holies, I enter through the blood. She